I'm sure that all of you silver-haired and blue-haired people here this evening are able to think back to the very early years of your childhood and recall the memories of that time of your life. Do you remember when it was that you no longer had to come in at night as soon as it became dark? Or do you remember when you no longer had to ask the permission of your parents to drive the family car? Or when you went to college and you finally escaped from the dormitory rules? Do you remember when you finally moved away from home and you no longer had to put up with the regulations that your parents tried to impose upon you? Each of those experiences and thousands of others make up these moments of liberation, of growing up, of escaping, of shedding rules in the same way that a swimmer shakes the water off, coming out of the pool or the river or the lake. In each one of those experiences, you are leaving the old rules behind, and you were free, liberated. And yet at the same time, as the old rules were left behind, there were always other rules that have a way of sticking with us. You still have to file the income tax return by April 15th. You still adhere to the 55-mile speed limit. You still observe the no parking zones, the no smoking signs. You are still surrounded, no matter how old you are, with rules. Rules everywhere, rules. We always are able to escape. One set of rules at one time of life, just in time to get trapped into another set of rules. And so we discover, no matter how old we are, our lives are always filled with restrictions, regulations, requirements, prerequisites, preconditions from school, the government, the place at which you work, and even your own family. All of these seem to conspire either to prescribe or forbid just about everything that we do in our life. And again, I'm sure we look back and just wish for the good old days when all we had to do was to come in at night before the lights went out. Childhood days were so very simple, and the rules were so very simple. But even today, there are still a lot of people who view religion simply as another set of rules and regulations. And today, there are even some people who complain that their children are not being taught all of the old rules that they, the parents or the grandparents, learned when they were in school. Some parents and grandparents still think, what is religion except a set of rules and regulations? Jesus obviously thought differently. Jesus ridiculed the elaborate purification rules of the Jewish law. They were imposed by the strict interpreters, and whereas Jesus himself had a deep and profound respect for the law itself, even though he came to transform it, his objection was not so much to certain religious rules of the Jewish law. He recognized that the diet and the purification rules that we heard about in the gospel today were simple, primitive, public health measures to keep the people away from eating dangerous meat and to instill in them, in that hot Mediterranean climate, a sense of personal cleanliness, of rinsing things out, for instance. Whatever it would take to inhibit the spread of contagious disease, because people used in a communal kind of way, dishes and cups. Jesus' point was that, however necessary, some rules might be for the purpose of the common good, they had nothing to do with the kind of person you are, or with the strength of the Father's love for you. Let's look at it this way, because this is how Jesus saw it. A husband and wife in their home will always have an informal set of regulations about who is responsible for what around the house. Who cleans up what kind of mess? Who does which kind of work? And there can be strong differences of opinion and lots of hurt feelings and even bitter quarrels unless the husband and wife, from the time they are married, decide a certain division of labor. But in a good marriage, neither the husband nor the wife demand that those simple rules be kept as a condition of their ongoing love for each other. Neither one of them thinks that by honoring those rules, that this is going to be the guarantee of their love for each other. They recognize as intelligent people that these informal regulations of family life are simply bookkeeping and housekeeping details, which are totally different from their real, honest to God love for each other. Even though sometimes those rules are a necessary precondition of love, only because they continue to clear out of the way all of those things that could get in the way of their growth in love of each other. They recognize as the years go on that love in the deepest sense is a strong, powerful emotion, a combination of desire and generosity, a desire to possess and be possessed by each other, a desire of passion and affection, of respect and sympathy, of amusement and dedication. Rather than a matter of rules, love is a matter of who you are and who the other person is. And you are at your best when you are most attractive, most lovable, most generous, most open, most trusting, and above all, most vulnerable. But who you are, even at your very worst, when you are suspicious and narrow, unpleasant and vindictive, even then you can still be loved by the person who persists in loving you as a person as you really are, and tolerating you even in these most unpleasant moments, because you are the person who is lovable. And that is the point of today's good news, the gospel And that is the point of the entire New Testament. That the Father, the mysterious presence that we call God, relates to each of us as a lover. As a lover, and not as a rule maker, and not as a rule enforcer. There are some rules which must be kept in our relationship with the living God, just as there are always some rules that must be kept in our relationship with our earthly lovers. But those rules with God, as with our earthly lovers, exist simply to clear away the obstacles that might stand as barriers to growing in love. And above all, remember that breaking the rules does not cause God to stop loving you. And keeping the rules does not earn her love for you. God's love, like all love, has been given not as something that is merited, but rather something that is totally free, completely spontaneous, unearned, unearnable, a reward for who and what we are, and not for anything that we may have done. Always remember, Jesus is the name that means Savior, one who has come to free us, to heal us, to liberate us. Not in the sense of abandoning the rules, but rather in the sense of telling us that religion is all about love and not about rules. Religion deals with the unearned and the unearnable. Religion deals with a free gift rather than enforced regulations. Our religious life is not like the rest of our life. Our religious life is not an exercise in some kind of persistent, dogged, meticulous, mechanical observation of detailed regulations. Our religious life, with the mysterious presence of the living God, is a love affair. It is as liberating as a love affair.